Welcome to Articulate Warbling with Zach Ferguson. I am your producer and editor, D.B. Spitzer. This week, Zach's going to be talking about something. I just got over being sick, so I am mass producing, mass editing a whole bunch of episodes with Zach and Laura, talking about all sorts. Schofield, and some book reviews and some movie reviews all coming up on Articulate Warbling in the next 2-3 weeks. So I hope you enjoy these episodes. I hope you're having a good spring. If spring's coming your way, don't forget daylight savings time at some point in time in the near future if you live somewhere where there's daylight savings time. And remember, it's not a rant. It's Articulate Warbling with Zach and Laura. All right, here we go with those guys. People, folks.
Hello, it is I, a warbler, with a fellow articulate warbler. Hello, fellow articulate warbler.
Hello.
What's your name, warbler?
I don't know whether I want to announce that, do I?
Well, everyone knows your name's Laura.
Damn it, I'm Laura.
I'm Zach, and this is an all sorts episode. An all sorts episode. It's not a special, it's just going to be it's probably going to be a running thing. Like, instead of, like, isolating, because recently it's been very societal, very factual, very puff pieces, where all sorts is just going to delve into pop culture, recent happenings in the media, reads, likes, films, cinema, but like a round table, a discussion amongst me and Laura. And it's an all sorts, because it's going to be all sorts of topics and issues and dilemmas within the world of pop culture, film. But it's less veering towards the societal stuff. But even if societal stuff and issues arise, it's okay, because it's all sorts. And you don't buy an all sorts packet and go, oh, I don't like, oh, why is that one in there? It's an all sorts packet. And if you're American and you don't know what all sorts is, it's an assortment of...
usually licorice.
Licorice, all sorts. Those nice chewy ones that are pink and the black ones. And oh, I just love
it.
I
can't stand licorice, so.
I love licorice, but it's all sorts also. We're all sorts because we're all sorts of trouble. We're all sorts of wacky and weird. But today, subjects will... We have an overall broad idea of what we're going to talk about, don't we?
We do.
Parasite.
Parasite.
And not just because it's won Oscars.
Oh no, yeah, let's just be clear. It's not because it won 4 Oscars. It's actually because it's a really bloody good film. And we were going to podcast about it before it won 4 Oscars.
Yeah.
But then didn't get round to it. So.
Like, everyone's now like, oh, he's jumping on the bandwagon. Listen, motherfuckers. I love that director. Way before you even knew that he was out there. He directed The Host. He directed... and. There I go, I just completely lost the names of his other. I think he directed Mother. He's a very good Korean filmmaker, and Parasite is no different. It's very lucky that the film has got recognised at the Oscars, but the only bad thing is people always easily attribute it to, like, is it because it's all popular now? Is it all because it's big? Is it because everyone wants it? Is that a good thing? If everyone wants to watch it and it's on everyone's mind, gravitate towards it. I just like the exposure. So we've got Parasite. We've also got Birds of Prey.
And the 4DX experience.
Especially the 4DX experience. Those are the films. I really want to talk about the recent controversy surrounding Robert Pattinson's leaked images of him as Batman. And the what did I call it the other day? It was a fanboyicity.
Yes.
The fanboyicity that seems to go on. And you want to talk about a very... really good book by Dorno Porter.
I do.
So Lucky.
I would also like to touch briefly on the very sad news of Caroline Flack.
Oh, yeah. But when we get into those topics, we'll give you, like, you know, the information and the background necessary for you to actually know what we're talking about.
I'm ready and raring to go with the internet, baby.
Okay, you've got it on standby. Well, what do you want to talk about first? I think you should talk about So Lucky.
Okay.
Because you love it, and it's... you did such a beautiful... almost heartfelt, emotional description of it.
I thought I was going to cry. okay, so Lucky is a book that Zach bought for me. I thought it was on the fly, but it turns out he had a little bit more meaning behind it, but didn't actually realise how emotional it would be. So on the front is just a donut, and instantly I'm like, donuts.
Donuts.
And you think the whole thing's going to be about donuts, which I was kind of a little bit disappointed with at first. I was just like, I don't really want to read an entire book that is literally 400 pages about donuts. But when you read, when you look at it, it says so lucky, and then in brackets underneath it says, don't judge a woman by her cover. So it says, is anyone's life as perfect as it looks? Beth shows that women really can have it all. Ruby lives life by her own rules. And then there's Lauren living the dream. Beth hasn't had sex in a year. Ruby feels like she's failing. And Lauren's happiness is fake news. And it just takes one shocking event to make the truth come tumbling out. So...
vague.
It is very vague. And so Beth is this lady who is a wedding planner. It says she hasn't had sex in a year, her husband doesn't seem to be interested in her, and she's got a 4-month-old baby boy, but she's working and the husband's doing the fatherly duty by managing to get 3 months off work and looking after the baby while she does the wedding. And you kind of go through her story, and the more you go through, the more you realise how horrible her husband really is. And how he puts her down and makes her feel so awful, despite the fact that she's got something in her that's like, actually, I am sexy, I am good looking, I am this, I am that.
It just comes across as like the horrible modern man, especially in like a dual relationship where both of them are the money earners, and he's kind of, he seems like a type of character. Like, I haven't read this book, but I will definitely read it, because my initial approach to it was like, I'm really interested in Dawn O'Porter, I love her documentaries. I knew her before she became known for being Chris O'Dowd's wife, of which she does hilariously allude to in the public fashion. And takes the piss out of wife of, she like goes off and says on like public media, like, wife of a Hollywood actor, and everyone's like, get you, and it's like she's doing it, it's self-referential. So I like her, so I'm interested, but he seems like the modern man of like, I've taken 3 months off, you should better appreciate this, but and I'm glorious for it.
Yeah, and he's really sort of bum chummy with his mum as well, and it's quite an unhealthy relationship, it's very toxic. The other main character is Ruby, who suffers really seriously with PCOS, which is polycystic ovary syndrome. So she literally is head to toe covered in thick, what she refers to as fur.
Is it? It's. I've seen loads of people with it on various documentaries. I think even Dawn O'Porter did a documentary surrounding body image and all such. And yep. It's a lot of people would go, or like a monkey. No, it's a woman.
Well, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, but a lot of people could like then really. It is grounded in reality.
Yeah. But it's a hormonal issue that she really struggles with, and she's got a 3.5-year-old little girl. Her ex-husband. It seems to be a lovely man, but you kind of understand why she doesn't like him, and things sort of transpire. I won't go into too much detail because you really do have to read it.
Yeah.
And Lauren is the lady, the girl that's getting married, and throughout the book is Instagram posts. They actually they talk about Instagram posts. So I'm just gonna find one now. So Lauren Pierce, Instagram post. The image is of Lauren in her kitchen holding a large glass filled with something green. She's wearing jeans and a tight pink shirt. She is fully made up with perfectly highlighted blonde hair. The caption reads, "Keeping healthy is so important to me. Feeling good in my body helps my mind feel better. I love my new hashtag green machine QT juicer. I get at least 3 of my 5 a day in one drink. Happy body, happy brain. Hashtag ad, hashtag self-love, hashtag love, hashtag together, hashtag women, hashtag accept yourself, hashtag be yourself, hashtag know your truth, hashtag women supporting women, hashtag vegan." And then various people, and then you see the comments that various people have put on there. So one person says, "Why do ads when you're about to marry one of the richest men in the country? Give your fee to charity." Somebody else says, replying to that first person, "She's her own person. Would it be better to live off her husband? I have so much respect for a woman paying her own way. Own it, Lauren. I love you." Someone else replies, "Ad, sell out, get a real job that doesn't involve you wearing pants." And then somebody else says, "I love you so much. Everything you say is what I need to hear. Thanks for being you." Somebody else says, "Hashtag relatable, not. Remember to love yourself. You are such an inspiration to me." Another one says, "Seriously, get a grip. Rich, thin, fit, what the fuck else do you need? That smoothie looks like when a dog eats grass then pukes it up. And the last person says, I wish I had your figure. So throughout, you can really feel that kind of, you know, that social media thing of some people will say, get a job, get a life, get this, get that.
Well, that's frustrating, isn't it? Anyone who's on a public platform, not even if you're successful.
Yeah, and then there are people that are her fans and they're loving what she's doing and loving what she's part of. So you kind of feel that through the book, and that's, you know, ultimately what you get from the end of it. And it is very emotional at the end because everybody kind of, as with almost every story, everybody's kind of linked and you didn't realise.
Mm.
And they all come together and... it's fantastic. It is just such a good book. I could not recommend it more, honestly. So Lucky by Dawn O. Porter.
It's interesting. She is a very talented lady, and she herself faces continuously opposition because she tackles societal issues, real issues, especially when it comes to media, comes to body image.
But she's done that in a fictionalized book, and that's what I love.
And
she's tackled some of the biggest issues in society in a fictionalized book, and I think that is how it resonates harder with people.
Because it's got that, it is in a lot of ways. I wouldn't think she'd describe it like that, I don't think you, but there's satirical elements with that satire. So, like, I myself, when I do it, you sometimes go over the top with, like, how you would assume, like, toxic masculinity is represented, or how trolls online and incels are represented online. But you have to do that in a way because that's what they like. And sometimes the more, the uglier it is, the truer it comes across as. Like, some people could read it and go, really? Are people that are sycophantic? Are people that are gushing? Yes, because singular people have their own inclinations and relationships with people in a public fashion. Some people are bitter and twisted. Some people have reason to be up against it because of their own issues. But Dawn O. Porter has always been such a talent with, and especially with her book, Kells. It isn't her debut, but I got that wrong. She's written two other books before that about growing up and about adolescence for young women. But I remember Kells having that satirical nuance, that thing where you can see the culmination of what she'd done as a journalist, as a documentarian and as a presenter, but doing it in the fictionalized parameters where she can be a bit more playful. She doesn't have to be objective.
Yeah.
She can be scathing. She can be as opinionated as she wants, because there's always that fine balance with documentarians and broadcasters when they put out a show. They're like, I have to teeter on that edge because I want everyone to approach this. If I teeter on this way, they may go, who the fuck do you think you are? But she's always been brave. She did a documentary about breast cancer and body image and breasts and the symbolism. And she just stripped bare. She's like, I don't like the look of my breasts. I'm not, but I'm going to do it and show. There's nothing to be ashamed of, especially with the severity of breast cancer. Do not be ashamed of it, do not feel scared of it. And she's always gone out there, but ever since she became Mrs. O'Dowd, I'm not gonna lie, it kind of, she became that woman who was, oh, just Chris O'Dowd's wife. And she played on that beautifully, where she says in a lot of media posts, even in one of her books, she described us as a wife of a celebrity actor. Chris O'Dowd himself wouldn't even class himself as that, though he's very successful now in America. And people even then have to be spiteful little bitches and pull her up on it. It's like, she's being very particular. She's playing to those notes that she knows that it's going to wind you up.
Yeah.
And I that's why I liked Kells, because you could see the culmination of everything that's come before. It's built towards this. And she's a very strong writer, not just as journalist, but as from you've said from this experience, as a fictional writer.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people are always scared to read books by women in general, but women in the public eye, because there's always that faux sensibility of just being dead set against it because she's the wife of Chris O'Dowd, or dead set against it because she would view herself as a feminist.
Mm.
People are like, oh, fuck, oh, it's going to be that flag wave. And there's a difference between really being a feminist, but not in block capitals, by doing things with feminine ideologies and feminine purities without going, I'm a feminist, I'm going to kick up a fuss. She deals with these topics subtly, passionately, without needing to wave the flag. The sum of all the parts is, her work speaks for itself.
Yeah, it does.
And that's why I think that people, if you're like really put off by, daunted by a woman talking up on topical issues, don't be. I don't think I've heard someone laugh so hard whilst reading the book before. And you said it's emotional, but it's actually a very funny book. Why do you think it's very funny? Because it's relatable.
I just think it's funny.
Just funny.
It's just, you know, I think it's human.
Yeah.
And actually, because when you look at comedy, it's kind of, it has to be over-exaggerated in order to make it funny. Uh-huh. This couldn't be less over-exaggerated if it tried.
Yeah.
It was just funny.
It's those minor moments that are...
It's just normal.
Yeah.
It's just life.
Yeah.
And there are times in life where things are kind of funny.
Yeah. Even the down days, the awful days. Like, even you look at all these negative trolls.
Yeah.
These people, the media, who... the media who...
Sorry, Zach thinks I'm writing a message to him. I'm actually writing a message to the removals van that's sat outside my house because I'm really fucking sick of them parking there. I know they live down the road, but it's a commercial vehicle and they're taking up two fucking car parking spaces.
And they shouldn't be there.
So I just thought I'd get it down before I forget.
Thank you for sharing that. See, all sorts. It takes all sorts to get all sorts. But I've completely forgot what I was talking about.
My apologies.
Completely forgot where I was. I think that, to wrap it up, go out and seek out Dawn L. Porter. Her documentaries, they're on, you know, catch-up apps. She's very... she's known. She's out in the public consciousness. But no, that's what I was going to say. It feeds into that thing of negative press, negative media. Even in the light of the sad... suicide and death for Caroline Flack, which is the sum of this type of toxic behaviour, this thoughtlessness applied to celebrities and in a spotlight or in a certain position societally that's better off than you. Even Caroline Flack, even as an individual, and this is what I'm going to use as a segue, they just humoured it and laughed at it. But even though that you can laugh at it, it will wear on you. But sometimes that's all you can do and it makes the situation better. And that's what the beauty of what Dawn L. Porter does, not just as a journalist and as a public figure, but obviously as a writer, as I've experienced from Kells, which I really need to reread before I can really go into depth behind the validation behind this. But I know where I'm coming from. But so lucky. How many stars?
5.
5 out of 5. So go out and get a book by Dawn L. Porter. They're doing it really cheap. Like £5 to £7 at your main supermarkets. But because it is a mainstream book, it's not one of those books that you're going to find harder to get hold of. Though the ones that she'd written way before she became the Dawn L. Porter, you can get them online. But it's a recommended read. And
I mean, I'd just like to say before we move on to any other subject, I didn't even know who Dawn L. Porter was. Nor did I know... Well, actually, I do know Chris O'Dowd, but I didn't know that was what his name was. So, actually, when I got gifted this book, it wasn't, oh my God, yeah, it's Dawn L. Porter, I've got to read it. I literally went, who the fuck is Dawn L. Porter? And, yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I saw her as somebody entirely different. When I saw a picture of her, I was like, wow, okay, that is somebody entirely different than the person that I thought would have been writing this book. I kind of envisaged her more of a, like, a Joe Brand type.
Yeah.
Certainly not what she looks like at all. So, yeah, it's not about the fact that you've picked it up because it's an author that you like or it's an author that you must read.
That you're familiar with.
It's nothing like that. It's a book that I think any woman, and you know what, any man should read because it is so life-affirming. It's unreal. And I finished that book thinking to myself, I've got some imperfections, but the people who love me for those imperfections, so fuck it.
Yeah.
And I feel better in myself, in my body image, from reading a fictionalised book. So.
Yeah. Well, that shows how powerful such right. Like, the thing is, that I see a similarity between Dawn L. Porter with her, some of her, her comedic semblances and her analytical eye with an author I love called Ben Elton, who is a satirist. He comes from a comedic background, and he is very to the point, sharp, but he doesn't do it in any flag-waving sensibility. It's just in it's just to reinforce the reality and the structure of the opinion, but also the, without quotation marks, the reality of the society and the world we live in. But Dorno Porter's so lucky. Recommended read.
Absolutely.
From the All Sorts segment, so lucky gets 5 stars. And if Dorno Porter ever listens to this,
I love you.
If you need a quote from Little Nobodies, we're here. Laura's here. And she, you can get hold of her on Instagram, where she's most frequent and popular as Hot Patooties. So, a segue into the Caroline Flack.
Yeah, so Caroline Flack, famous TV presenter, more specifically for the UK's Love Island. And, Beau Selector with...
Lee Francis, who played Avid Merion, who is now known for being Keith Lemon. Keith Lemon isn't an actual person, ladies and gentlemen. He's a fucking character.
Anyway, so on the 15th of February, the day after Valentine's Day, it was announced that she had sadly passed away and taken her own life. It has now been confirmed that they believe it was a hanging. And this was one day after finding out that she will have to face the courts surrounding her alleged assault of her boyfriend.
That the media hung her up. Oh, I know it sounds awful, but they did. They hung her up to dry. They did. The media created that noose.
Yeah, they did. And now, Caroline Flack wasn't my favourite person.
Mine neither.
I kind of thought she was a little bit arrogant. But actually, from seeing what she's had to deal with over the years, I'm not fucking
you
surprised.
You need that fixing. I came from a place where I knew that she had a strong stomach for taking on negative press. When she started out in Beau Selector, she was the brunt of a joke. She, and this is a lot of the time, her career has escalated. She's been very successful as, what I didn't know, an actress, a singer herself, a dancer, but she's more notorious for, you know, owning it and being a bit of a girl on the town. She's sleeping with various different people, but she's always owned it, and she's never shied away from it. And being part of Beau Selector, she played Michael Jackson's, hey, I'm Michael Jackson. She played Bubbles. So she'd always been like in that comedic set. She's already, what I'm trying to basically say is she's always was willing to be the brunt of a joke. She was accepting to take it. She was willing to be part of it.
Yeah.
But there's never so much that someone can take when the majority of her career seemed to be, it played out as she had her highs, but when she had her lows, people wouldn't let her live it down, even when she didn't do anything.
Exactly.
The media perpetuated this witch hunt because she has always been so easy. And I think it's a culmination of that. She's so blasé and she has been so... She has easily shrugged off all the negative press because she's been so strong to this point where she just shrugged it off. Whether you're interested in Caroline Flack, whether you're interested in anyone who dies, a lot of people have been right cunts on Facebook where they're going, who's Caroline Flack? Oh, it's like, this is a human being. And when you can see the broader picture, it's not just a story of Caroline Flack. It's a story of morals, human decency. It's not just about Caroline Flack. It's about... We need to do our due diligence and we need to just be a little bit, and I know people are going, be kinder. Well, for a reason. We need to be a bit kinder. These people are human.
I don't think it's about being kind, actually. I think it's about not getting involved in shit you're not involved in.
Yeah.
And that's nothing to do with being kind. That's just keeping your fat nose out of other people's business.
Yeah, that's true as well.
And this is the thing. You know, she dated Prince Harry in 2009.
Yep.
Not for very long, because the media got hold of it. They started reporting on it, and they let the, you know.
And he dropped her.
Yeah.
Like a rock.
Exactly. And
prick.
That's...
I'm not a royalist. Fuck you.
But
you're
the thing is, She was charged with assaulting her boyfriend in December 2019, which she said in an Instagram post following her death, that she was, she'd put it in an Instagram post, but it was unpublished, that it was an accident. But she pleaded not guilty. And I think, to be honest, we just need, everybody just needs to keep their nose out of other people's business. And I don't care whether they're celebrities or whether they're not celebrities. If it's not your business, if you're not part of it, keep the fuck away from it.
Mm.
It's nothing to do with you. You wouldn't, if somebody, you know, if somebody walked up to you in the street and went, my boyfriend just raped me, you'd support them, yeah. But you wouldn't go posting on Facebook about it, would you?
Well, in our generation, sadly, yes. That fucking weirdo said she got raped.
Exactly. So what, this is what I'm saying, you just need to stop putting your nose in business that is not yours.
Mm.
You can help people, you can support people, you can give people love. But you don't get involved with shit that's not your shit to get involved with.
And that's not even a thing of the benefit of the doubt. It's like, you need to have that distance where you can put your arm out and go, okay, I've heard you, but it's nothing to do with me. I have no... this is the thing. People are so fucking opinionated. I'm notorious for it. This is where the podcast comes from. But I'm not spiteful with it. I'm not veering to be damning or witch hunt. People like it. They feed into it because they feel like they're part of something. But why do you need to be part of this media storm? Have you ever met Caroline Flack? Have you ever... Why do you need to base your opinions on somebody? Like, if a negative news piece comes out in an article, it fits into their bias and they go, I always knew she was a bit dodgy. It's like, you can't really do that without knowing her.
Yeah, exactly.
We're all guilty of it. We're probably going to experience it ourselves. But this is where we need to kind of, like you're saying, need to take that time to stop and collect ourselves and go, how does it harm you? What's it to do with you?
There was a situation last night when we were on our way home from Cornwall. And I say last night, and this will have been about 3 weeks ago now, probably, by the time people listen to this.
Yeah, probably.
Or possibly not, depending on how quickly things get out there on the podcast stuff. But
if not, just go onto my Instagram and look at photos of this egotistical prick smoking.
So we were approaching a roundabout, and as we were approaching a roundabout, I had a car on the right hand side of me. I knew he was going to go sort of round the inside, kind of nip in front of me, no problem. He's got a bigger car, faster car, not a problem at all.
Smaller dick.
No, it doesn't bother me in the slightest. I knew I could see him, I knew what he was doing, I knew where he was going, and I don't blame him, quite frankly. I've got a 1.2 litre engine, I ain't going to be going very fast on the A27, and quite frankly, I'd been driving for 7.5 hours by that point, and I was exhausted, so I ain't going to be driving at the speed he wanted
to. Is this the instant?
So, then there's a car that is coming off a junction, should be giving way to the right, therefore giving way to me and this other car, and he just pops round. To the left, turns left on the roundabout, and actually, by the time he turned left, the car that was beside me was in a predicament, in the sense of this other car had actually cut him up quite badly and could have caused an accident, but this other car had seen him and beeped at him. Next thing I know, they're getting out of the car and going to beat each other up.
Well, before that, it was this fucking game of stopping, starting, which
it was.
That raised alarm bells for you straight away, because that corner
is notorious for accidents.
And
and I had cars behind me, and I really quite like my new car.
Our beautiful Pearl. Did very well.
Shout out to you, baby. But yeah, so next thing we know, that you know, this guy's getting out of the car, and then the other guy's going to get out of the car, and he starts slamming his door against this man's sort of feet, which could have done some serious amount of damage. Now, my point here is, if that had continued into a serious assault, GBH, whatever, then yeah, of course, I would have had to call the police. I would have had to give a statement. Zach would have had to give a statement, blah, blah, blah. But I don't go home, go on Facebook and bitch about it. I don't go home and I go, I got this guy's number plate and he's a right dick and rah, 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 and shame him.
If it escalated to something a lot worse, you'd have no choice but to tell the police. But you don't, your first thing isn't about going on Facebook and saying, won't believe what I just experienced.
There's a difference between going to the police to report a crime and going on Facebook to get some
likes.
Anyone
else would automatically go on the phone and live.
Yeah, live feed it. Now, I was going to record it.
Me too, because I thought,
purely because
for that man,
I wasn't sure I'd get the number plate, and I didn't. and it all happened so quickly anyway, I thought if I record it, I can show the police exactly what happened. Because do you know what? I've woken up this morning and I've gone, I don't think I could describe that man if I tried.
No.
I don't think I could give you a description.
Not even of the car. I remember that the car that the man went for was like a sports one.
It was a red sports car. I knew that. But nothing else.
No.
And this is the thing, it's...
He looked like a troglodyte.
He did, but that's about. I don't think the police would take that as a description.
Oi, Bernie, put it on the list of troglodyte. Like, I'm out of a million. Come on, kids.
So yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I'm not. Even though that guy was in the wrong and he did technically assault the other guy, I'm not going to go around putting it on Facebook. I know I'm talking about it now, but it's not enough detail to really find someone and locate them and go.
Well,
oh,
no,
yeah,
you're using it as an example. You're not doing it because you
And this is the thing. It's none of my fucking business. No. It was between those two men. Well, actually, I assume the other person was a man. I didn't actually see him.
I think it was. He was.
So, you know, my point is don't get involved in shit that ain't anything to do with you. If you need to report something to police, that's different.
Yeah.
That's
And it shook you up because
yeah, of course it did. Terrified me. One, because this guy was really fucking angry, and if he ain't going to go for the other guy, who's he going to come for next? Mm. I'm next in the queue. So yeah, it's terrifying. But
I believe that if you didn't honk, that just that very quick, abrupt honk, please,
it was
to look
courtesy,
over here.
Beep, beep, come on. And he did, he suddenly snapped out of it and went, shit, there's other people here.
Yeah, but he still had to go turn around and go, let's go on the label and have some fisty gloves. You should have a bare knuckle fight, Roger Pickering! Probably was Roger Pickering. Sorry.
But, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about with Roger Pickering.
Yes. But my point is don't get involved in shit that's nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, actually, no matter how much of a bad person or a good person anyone is, nobody deserves to have to feel that they are so worthless that they have to kill themselves.
Well, we wouldn't go online and make that. Well, to be honest, I think the geezer who was being a prick deserved to have a car crash.
But there is... All it takes is one person.
Mm.
One person.
No,
to start
I know what you're.
And then it goes on, and then that's it, where you end up having this.
And
situation.
It can become a witch hunt. Some bright spark out there could go, one arsehole, should we go out and actually kill that geezer?
Yeah.
And you think that's fiction. Now, this is the thing that's really scary about people who write satire now. It's not satire, it's reality.
Yeah. It is, absolutely. So, the moral of that story, even though we've heard it a million times, is don't get involved in shit that ain't to do with you. Leave the celebrities alone, no matter what they've done.
It's out of just a sense of wanting to be part of something, wanting to validate biased opinions as well. It's jealousy, inherent jealousy.
But just
to
get
in a
the
better
thing
position
is,
than them.
Get a grip of yourselves. Live your life.
Get a
someone
fucking
else's.
Grip. Yeah. Exactly. It's a sad thing that this young woman had so much to give and so much love. So many people.
So much love.
Like I said, Dawn O'Porter and her were a very good friend.
Yeah. Ollie Mers is one of my favourite, despite the fact of his haircut. Ollie, what are you doing, mate? Not too impressed at the moment, but I still love you.
Troublemaker, I'm not allowed to sing that song.
So, yeah, Ollie Mers is one of my favourite male singers. And
great. I love him.
I love him. And he's just... You know, he was really close with Caroline because they did, what did they do? They did the
Extra Factor
for years together.
And then their relationship really was torn because of public perception because they hosted X Factor together, the actual show, and obliterated them.
Mm-hmm.
And that made them just, like, oh, we're not a good duo anymore. It's like, no, you are, as friends. It doesn't have to just be for the fucking public eye. And it did put a wedge between them.
And that's the thing. They were really close friends. They were like brother and sister. And it's sad.
And there's a lot of, like, there's some celebrities out there who are doing it because they want a little attention. They want to make it be seen that they're a part of that clique and that minutia and they're part of that reality. But there's people out there who have released some really, really touching, revealing things that you go, these people are real. They don't just live in this this echo chamber of cosmeticisms and glitz and glam, though it's big, it's a big part of it, especially with the Love Island show and everything. These people are human at the end of the day. When they're off that show, they're living, yeah, they're breathing, they go to the toilet, yeah, they have imperfections, they have relationships. And the love and the loss that you feel, and then everyone out from the outside goes, oh, people only say that because she's dead now. And it's like, no, people are coming out en masse because they're like, fuck, we've lost someone very special, and you don't realise it until then.
And we shouldn't have lost her.
No.
We shouldn't lose anyone in this world, in truth.
And there wasn't much support from ITV with that incident. They dropped her as easily as anything. Though, how many years' worth of content and fan base has she given to them? How many views do you think? Like, she had a fan base. She had an audience. She wouldn't have been a broadcast and being on television for that stretch of years without having a fan base and people who loved her. And people loved her attitude. Like, I kind of was kind of like umming and ahhing about her because I just kind of, you feed into that what the media is projecting onto you, and you're like, God, she's in the press again. It's not her fault. It's the media's fault. Yeah. The Sun, the Daily Mirror, all these people who perpetuate lies, and it's bullying. It is bullying on a huge, almost international scale, and it's wrong. It's pressure. Pressure that's not needed. Even as a human of herself, as a young woman who's got issues, everything put out there into the strata, and then you need to validate, you need to reason, you need to explain yourself. You don't need to explain yourself to anyone. And it got her to such a point when she was like, and this is a thing that this Irish comedian said, Bo Islin, she's Irish, she's got like a television series on Netflix. She's really funny. And she said, my dad committed suicide, I didn't find out until I was about 13. She said, and I hated him, thought he was selfish, didn't think about me. And then she said, as she's grown up and she got a box of photos and it realised that she was always with him, it's just that one bad day that they felt like they wanted to die. Mm-hmm. They wanted to get away from themselves and the world. That one day. Doesn't mean the rest of their lives they wanted to waste. It was just that one day to get away from it. And that really, that opened it in such a thing where you're like, wow. Just wow. It's just that one day where you go, I've had enough. I've had a day like that. But I've never actually instigated it or gone out my way to do it. Because I had that moment where...
But you can have that moment on your
she
own.
She doesn't, because it's just a storm.
So when she's having, or when we're having that day, we can remove ourselves.
We can shut off. She can't, because she still has a career to think of. She's got lawyers, she's got press, she's got online, not just online bullying, but agents, marketing people, PAs. How are we going to shape this? How are we going to do this? Da, 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 da. And she's just like, I didn't do it, but if you need me to... And that's why she did that really intimate, and it kind of reads as a suicide note post, where she said, I'm telling you, this is what the situation is.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She didn't post it. And I think her family were did well to post that, because it showed... It's horrible, but it kind of shows the full circle of what this type of media attention and negativity does. That a person has to validate and explain themselves to the minutiae, and she got to a point where she went, you know what, fuck you, I'm actually going to... She didn't say it like that, but the message was clear. Fuck you, this is the truth of the matter, but you won't believe it no matter what. So what have I got to lose anyway? And then it's that one day and that one moment, and it's heartbreaking. When I read it, I said... Caroline Flack killed herself. You went, what's the news outlet? I went, The Sun. You went, nah, don't believe it. And then I said, Daily Mail. You went, no, don't believe it. Because they are...
They're renowned for that stuff.
And recently renowned, when you do a little research, for the people who are kind of willing on this circuit of events. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of wanted it. And I think bullies, like that Dan Wooden, that fucking Australian... horrible bastard who's on Lorraine Kelly, who's a media gossip. He's gone on Twitter and everywhere else, the cunt, and gone, oh, it's such a loss. But you are one of the people who circulated predatory stories.
Yeah.
Dan Wooden, fuck you, you fat cunt. Put as much blush and whatever you want in that big oversized suit. You're a fat, nasty cunt. And like Irvin Welsh said to Piers Morgan as well, you're a cunt in all. You're part of the problem. Cunt. Do you want to say it?
No, thank you.
Open your mouth. Cunt. Do it again.
Cunt!
Oh, Laura! The moral of the story is like with anything, whether celebrity or not celebrity, know your place, composure.
Get on with your own life, for Christ's sake.
Exactly. Now.
Okay, so let's get some happy stuff, shall we?
Birds of Prey?
Birds of Prey. So...
a masterpiece. 5 stars. Fucking love it.
Right, well, I won't say anything then.
Go.
Okay, so film primarily about Joker's girlfriend, Harlequin.
Harlequin, nice to meet you.
I don't know Batman.
You don't know the world?
I don't know Gotham City. Woo, I remembered it! I watched Joker purely because Zach was like, please watch Joker with me, please watch Joker with me, please watch Joker with me. And have subsequently bought it on Blu-ray for Zach for Valentine's Day.
Which has nothing to do with Birds of Prey.
No, but it's...
It led your interest because you liked Joker.
No.
You shouldn't like Joker? Get out! Even though this is your house.
Yeah. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to leave my own house for the rest of my life.
Put that on the car. Well, so I can prove myself.
Zach's having a little tantrum now, so I'm going to let him go on with that and carry on what I'm saying.
You nearly said Gotham with that. I'll get let him Gotham with that. Okay, go on.
Yeah, Joker has nothing to do with Birds of Prey, but watching Joker means you get to understand the character. Mm. And that means you can understand Birds of Prey because Harley Quinn is his girlfriend, was his girlfriend, and you need to understand Joker's personality in order to kind of feel her character.
Yeah, no matter, but that's the why it was such a beautiful, like, creation. And she was created, I don't know if you know this, on the Batman animated TV series. She didn't exist in the comics, she was created for the animated series.
But you don't have to have watched anything or Batman related.
Or Suicide Squad or DCEU, what's come already, no.
You don't have to watch anything to enjoy that film.
You know the cultural semblance of it, because you knew straight away, if someone's dressed in a certain way, wears a certain... You knew of her, but when you saw the Joker movie, I know what you're saying, oh, I can see, okay, I can see
now. You can
see
the characters, you can understand, because she's a bit kooky.
Mm.
And if you watch Joker... Well, you watch anything with a Joker character in it, you understand why she's as kooky as she is.
Yeah.
But my point is you don't need to have seen
Suicide Squad, you don't need which to have seen she was anything, introduced to, no.
Anything at all. I've never seen Suicide Squad. I've never seen anything to do with Batman. I know I'm Batman, but that's it.
I'm Batman.
Ho, ho, ho. But you don't... But you did...
Robert Pattinson needs to listen to this. It's like, what can you bring to the character? I'm Batman, ho ho ho. Sorry.
But you don't need to have seen anything.
No.
You don't need to know anything.
Well, that's the strength of Birds of Prey as well. Yeah. And it is kind of a soft reboot, because everything that happened in Suicide Squad, she basically just washes over it in a really quirky, like, animated sequence. Like, me and Joker broke out, blah, 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 blah. It's just like, okay, cool, you filled in the gaps. We didn't actually even need to know. Because this is the problem with mainstream audiences now. It's like, I don't understand. And it's like...
You don't actually need to.
She's Harlequin. She's a female version of Joker with a lot more heart. She's broken up with him. She's finding herself again. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Who's Joker? Oh, yeah, the man with green face paint. No, green hair and red lipstick. Yeah. I think Joker boned her once.
The one that looks like a clown.
Yeah.
But yeah, you really don't need to have seen anything, or even be interested in anything, no. To be honest.
It's off the merits of that character. And Margot Robbie.
Well, if I could go back to being a lesbian, I mean be a lesbian.
I think it's the first time you've ever...
Then I would 100%...
You weren't a lesbian. That's the first time you owned up that you were a lesbian. Every time I used to say it, you're like, I was quite curious.
I wouldn't say that. I said it's a phase. Anyway, if I could be a lesbian, Margot Robbie would probably be...
What, as Harlequin? Or just in general?
Just in general.
Mm, she's lovely.
Just stunning.
understatedly beautiful.
She is. So yeah, it's a fantastic film.
And she's a superb performer. Like, even like, there's moments in Birds of Prey where this is the beauty, the whole dynamic, the whole storytelling, the narrative, the editing is as fractured and as messed up and as intrusive and hypermanic as Harley Quinn's psyche. So one moment where she's getting beaten up by Black Mask, Ewan McGregor's character, and I'll get onto Ewan McGregor in a minute. There's this beautiful dance number. And the physicality, she completely transforms into a completely different person, like a 30s. She's just so talented. So talented. The levels of depth. To have this character who's done some despicable things, who's so quirky, who's so dark, who's quite menacing, she has heart. She's and this sounds awful. And that's why I love the Joker. Relatable.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's just the cinematography, the execution of it, the editing. Kathy Yen, and this is her second film, this is like a big Hollywood break, has constructed a beautiful film that is emblematic, and it is popcorn fare. Unapologetically, it is popcorn blockbuster fare. But there's a lot more going on. You get everything that you want from the characters. I'm a huge DC Batman fan. I know.
No.
I know the ins and outs of that world and the lore like no other. And seeing Black Mask on screen and seeing all these different actors and seeing Victor Zsasz played by an actor from the Mindy Project, and oh my god, his characterization of Victor Zsasz as a homoerotic, sleazy, true kook. He even makes the Joker look like a kitten. How
yeah,
sleazy
he really does,
he is.
Doesn't he? Yeah.
And Ewan McGregor as Black Mask is so powerful because he's an insecure, Trumpian figure.
Oh, he's just little, isn't he?
He's a small man who wants to be big man, but everything else around him, and his portrayal of the character is really strong. And that's Ewan McGregor playing to his advantage. He's like, yeah, it's small man syndrome. He's insecure. But he's like that. He's like a chameleon, because in certain movies, when he played Obi-Wan Kenobi, he was quite tall, proud, wise. You see him in Trainspotting, and he's a skinny, lanky drug addict. And in Trainspotting 2, he's quite muscled, honed in. He's very chameleonic, and he doesn't get enough. And I remember when he played a skinhead neo-Nazi in a film a few years ago. I didn't even know it was Ewan McGregor until someone said, oh, that's you. It stars Ewan McGregor. I was like, and it's just the power of his performance, but the co-stars of this, the Birds of Prey in general, are fucking top-notch. But that young girl, that partners up with, who steals this diamond, which is the real big crux. Can you look up her name for me, please?
I'd just like to say, she doesn't steal it necessarily. She swallows it.
She swallows it.
She steals it.
Which is the whole pinnacle of the story. This big diamond that is inscribed with more wealth than the diamond actually on the outside, external. It is predicated around a diamond heist and double deal, double crossing, and it's just powerful, it's playful. Daniel Pemberton, a masterful composer involved in this, who did Into the Spider-Verse.
Ella J. Basco is actually 13.
Only 13.
And she plays a character that's probably a similar age, actually. In Birds of Prey, which she's
phenomenal. She's someone to look out for. I really love to see her make an appearance in The Suicide Squad, which is a sequel to Suicide Squad, but it isn't a sequel to Suicide Squad because it's called The Suicide Squad. So it's another reboot of Suicide Squad, but it's got more ties to Birds of Prey because I've done a whole course correction. It doesn't matter, but I'd love to see her make an appearance in that. I want to see where her and Harley Quinn went with their partnership. Birds of Prey co-stars. I really liked... The one who plays Huntress...
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
She was hilarious as a girl trained to be an assassin, and every chance that she wants to go to state her name, it's like, crossbow killer! I'm not a fucking crossbow killer! And she's like got like a temper issue. Just, the whole cast, they know what they do. They know the characters, they love it, and it's playful.
And I loved Journey Smollett-Bell's performance as well, purely because she managed to intertwine her voice her singing voice with her acting.
Oh, who played Canary?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just so cool to see Canary be done on the big screen with her powerful... and that's actually her singing.
Yeah.
Oh, she comes from a singing background, doesn't
yeah.
she?
So she's her so brother.
That soundtrack
yeah,
is right. actually her.
Yes.
Ooh.
It's her song.
Oh, beautiful.
She sung it.
And her brother's the one, Empire, who pretended yeah. to get.
Yeah.
Oh, sweethearts.
Her brother is Jussie Smollett, who was yeah the middle child in Empire.
And he's acting like a middle child with his actions in reality.
Well.
I also... the only issue I had was... I know her. I don't know the actress's name. I know it's Montoya, who's actually a big character in the graphic novel. I can't say. Rosie Perez. She was very underserved.
She was.
But a lot of issue has culminated saying... there's not enough bird of the birds of prey. It's a coming together story. It's about them finding each other.
Yeah.
If you've started the movie and it's like, you like, and then they come together. The film is just fun. Pure, unadulterated fun with amazing action sequences, great choreography, beautiful cinematography. It is a masterpiece. It
is even more of a masterpiece when you go and see it for the second time in 4DX.
I would give Birds of Prey 5 stars overall. As a 4DX experience, it's still a 5-star film, but it would easily subtract it to a 3-star film. Because I love the 4DX experience because it is a theme park ride, lending weight to what Martin Scorsese is getting trouble for by going, these movies are theme park rides. They literally are. If you see Birds of Prey, apparently Birds of Prey is the most hyperkinetic, most swayy, motiony movie ever to be put onto 4DX platforms.
I think it's amazing.
It's distraction.
Yes, it's a distraction, but that's why you have to have seen the film first.
Exactly, that's what I was leading to. We agreed that you need to see the movie first as a movie, but then see it in 4DX because it is fun. It's kind of painful as well.
It wasn't painful, you're just a big sissy.
It fucking hurt. Every time she got punched or slapped, there's a little midget that they've got hiding in my seat going, kicking me. And then someone kept whispering in my ear, you like that, don't you? No, but all the popping and the strobe lighting, the only thing I was really disappointed was the fog effect. I thought it was going to be a little bit more atmospheric, but...
I was more disappointed that I couldn't smell her sandwich.
Do really? There's a huge montage where she gets this beautiful...
Egg and bacon sandwich.
Breakfast sandwich. And it's just... oh, the cinematography. And there's a huge sequence that is predicated upon her love and her protecting the sandwich yeah. like it's her child. And then that big dramatic moment where it's just going in slow motion, it's obliterated. At every moment, she's just trying to protect this sandwich. And it just makes you dribble with the cinematography. But then Laura was saying, oh my God, if it's scent, we're going to smell that breakfast. And throughout the film, I kept going, I smell perfume. And then at the end, Laura was like, I just think it was a woman who was sitting across from you, to be honest, sweetheart. That's your Amazon parcel. It means you can open it here. Good timing. Open it here. Presents.
Oh. That was really nice in there. What is all of this? Do you want that? An envelope. What's it got in it? I want to see how much you pay for it. Ah, that's cute.
Did they put it on here? Yeah, they did.
Paper Aeroplanes, The Story of a Friendship by Dorno Porter. How good timing. This is like the cutesiest little bag I've ever seen. Like, I just...
gift wrapped. And look, who blurbed it?
Oh. Cows!
scowls.
What are you trying to say?
What?
Nasty bastard.
No, it's nice. I just gifted you books in a nice wrapping bag thing. I don't really like their Amazon wrapping, no. Cows.
The cows. Also by Dorno Porter. Ah, thank you, baby.
It's okay, it's just as a thank you for a holiday away in lovely Cornwall.
Thank you.
Okay.
My little bag.
It's nice, isn't it?
I put my head in there.
Looks quite Christmassy, doesn't it?
It does look quite Christmassy.
Could be used as another little... What do you call it? What is it called?
What?
Well, you put stuff in the bag in Christmas.
Like a stocking.
Yeah, that's it. So there, what were we on?
Birds of Prey.
4DX. I just loved when the camera moved, you moved. Dipping and swerving. But a completely different experience, but I love that cinema in Crawley. It is immense.
It is pretty cool.
Now, segueing to...
Parasite.
Ah, yeah. By Bong Joon-ho.
By Bong Joon-ho.
By Bong Joon-ho.
That's how I said it.
Bong Joon-ho. Yeah, exactly. No, you're much better with telling the narrative.
The narrative?
Yeah. scam artists.
Scam artists, indeed. Yeah, so really, really poor Korean family. It's Korean, isn't it?
Yes.
I got that wrong.
What do they make for a living? They put together pizza boxes.
They put together pizza boxes for a living. Four of them. Mum and dad and their two children. One boy, one girl.
And all they want to do is just have a little bit of internet connection.
Yeah, because they're desperately trying to find the internet connection in the house and they find it on the
toilet. In the first, like, 3 minutes.
So, yeah, just hilarious, really, from beginning to end, but with some really metaphorical, deeper meanings, I think. And you hear the word parasite, you instantly think it's going to be Korean, poor people.
Horror. They're gonna, body yeah, horror types.
But you're going to catch
CD,
some...
CD, yeah.
Like, I'm feeling like a War of the Worlds thing going on, like this kind of alien parasite.
Well, the trailer when I initially saw it was quite horror-esque.
Exactly.
And it's about class.
It is. And actually, all that happens is the boy's friend, he comes and he says, oh, I'm going away for a holiday or whatever. And I'm teaching this young girl in this really rich household. And you just need to teach her English while I'm gone.
And then he inverts his family in every way possible, replacing old teachers, old housekeepers.
Yeah, and they actually managed to get rid of their various staff
help, yeah,
that are already in place in order to get their family in, and that they all get in at the end, and they actually find some guy down in the basement, which turns out to be the old housekeeper's husband,
who's on the run for debts.
He is on the run.
I think things spiral really quickly out of control, especially. I don't want to give it away, but the last 20 minutes is shocking.
Just like, whoa.
It's shocking. Yeah.
And I think there's a thing of, you know, Parasite is I had a conversation with somebody at work about it because they'd seen it just after it had won all the Oscars, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, did you see it because it won all those Oscars? No, I saw it before the Oscars. You fucking tard.
And we said about it, and we said, who were the parasites? Is the parasite the class system in itself? Are the parasites the poor people trying to get money? Are the parasites the rich people taking advantage of poor people?
And ignorant of the fact, because there's that common theme that even though this help they appreciate, the father does this smell.
Yeah.
And there's a moment where the characters are all four hiding, because they come back early, and he makes a comment about he smells basically poor. He smells like a poor person.
Smells like a Subway.
Yeah.
And also there's an element of is the parasite the man that's living in the
because
living in the basement.
Without giving away the end, it has a cyclical.
It does. It comes together really nicely. Yeah. But so yeah, you do, you leave kind of thinking who is the parasite in all of this? And actually if you look, if you delve even deeper, you could even say that you are the parasite as the viewer. Thinking
talk, go
being
on.
Being entertained by the high life, the low life, the smaller people in life, the bigger people in life.
Yeah.
Laughing.
We're parasitic.
At their misfortune. Mm. See? So you can delve as deep as you want or as shallow as you want. Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
Or you just look at it on its like face value that it's a quirky, dark comedy. But there's a lot going on. Korean cinema is always kooky in the sense of it's always got that sense of humour. It's got larger-than-life characters, but then it's easy to fall into catastrophe. And there's a Korean semblance there where there's that freedom of creativity, there's a freedom of symbolism and freedom of metaphor. And there's a lot of Korean movies that's come before this that have deserved the Oscar attention, and they haven't. And there's a lot of people who've come up going, well, why didn't this one, that one? Because they probably weren't at a place where they did. This is a good thing. Mm. Though the Oscars have done it for the wrong reasons, because they needed something to spice it up a bit due to the It's So White controversy, the recent thing that not any female directors are nominated, though that a lot of decent films, apparently, not from Greta Gerwig, Little Women, boring as fuck, but from female directors weren't being recognised, foreign cinema in particular. You can tell it's a committee going, yeah, that's a bit kooky, isn't it? That'll make us look good in the media light if we... What's good is for Bong Joon-ho, for Korean cinema, because it's had people who are very blinkered, like, I don't like subtitles, or I don't like foreign cinema, because of the popularity and the media garnering, people have gravitated towards, and people are going, this is really good. What is other Korean cinema like? So I'm really appreciative of that. But I'm not appreciative of people going, this Korean film should have won an Oscar over that Korean film. Appreciate this in this moment. Western civilization is now miraculously en masse appreciating foreign cinema together, general audiences, because it has been recognised. I think that's good. And I told you the other day, I went on Amazon, and Korean cinema is so dear on Blu-ray, so expensive, because it's nichey. Not many people are interested in buying it. No, it's all the Korean cinema that I wanted to buy, it's like £5 a Blu-ray, £6 a Blu-ray, because Western audiences have now gone, their cinema is potentially a lot more interesting than what we are doling out. Superhero movie after superhero movie after superhero movie. And I'm very appreciative that the Oscars have given that illumination to the audiences. I don't care that they did it because it was an agenda. But Korean cinema is, it's pure. Please don't be scared of subtitles. You find your own, find your own pace, don't you?
Because I watch possibly not as much subtitled stuff as Zach has and does. But I spent a lot of time watching the Walter Presents stuff.
The brilliant, is it Swedish?
Some of them are Danish. Most of them are Danish.
Really good, like, gripping thrillers.
Yeah, always. Yeah, they are thrillers. And I spent a lot of time watching some of those. And when I first sat down to watch Parasite, I was aware that it was going to be a relatively lengthy film. Mm. And Korean films tend to be a little slow on the uptake. This one was slow on the uptake, but got there. And once you're there, you're rolling and it's quick. But my fear was, when I sat down, I thought, oh shit, the subtitles. And I was, the thing is, the worst thing about subtitles is reading makes me sleepy. If I'm already a little bit tired, and I'd already driven to Crawley in weather that was far from great, I'm already, like, my eyes are a bit tired because I've driven and I've been concentrating, and it's like, okay, all right, subtitles. 30 seconds later, I clearly forgot about it. The film finished and went, oh shit, yeah, that was all subtitled, wasn't it?
Yeah, you find your own pace and your own, and you find, I was laughing because I'm more than the generalised audience.
Both were.
Yeah. Because I'd say that we, out of a general audience, are more, let's say we're more,
we're more intelligent, come on, let's just
We're more intelligent and we're more familiar with being appreciators of that cinema.
Yeah.
We got there before any of the audiences could, because we...
And I think the thing is, a lot of general audience people, they tend to read the words as the people are speaking.
Don't do it. Just
I don't do that, because
you can't.
What me and Zach were saying at the end of the film, exactly, is that you read it really, really quickly, and then go straight back to the acting, because you want to appreciate
and
the
actual performance. And to be honest, and the majority of the time, they haven't, and this is the truth of that, half of the time they haven't even finished the first word.
before we've read the entire sentence.
And that show, so then you can fully appreciate the performance and the nuance, and it makes it funnier rather than reading the words as their mouth moves, because translation doesn't work like that any way at all.
Exactly. And that's why we were laughing before anyone else, because actually we'd read the joke, so to speak.
But it's funnier because but it was even funnier because it's paired up with the performance then.
Yeah.
You will find that you either struggle, but you do find that pace.
Yeah.
You will find that pace. If it's you watch one film, I think one movie, if you want to familiarise yourself with that type of thing, go with this movie called The Handmaiden. It's a 3-hour epic. It's hilarious. It's kooky. It is a Korean movie. It's a silent Korean movie, but when words are spoken, they're pivotal moments.
Yeah.
So it kind of gets you into that flow of when the subtitles are there, you need to read them.
Yeah.
You need to read them. Mm. So if you want to start with anything, do Park Chan-wook's The Handmaiden, because it has that space for you to kind of evolve and get used to the rhythm.
Yeah.
But Parasite wasn't even that hard a movie to follow, even when it comes to subtitle levels. The worst one for me is French movies. They're fast.
Yeah, they are.
And the subtitles with them do not catch up, so the subtitles are as quick as the dialogue is being delivered.
Yeah.
Whereas there is the nature of Korean cinema as well, is it's prosaic, it's slow, it is very alluring. And it's not just to do with their ethnicity, it's the style of cinema. Mm. So if anything, Korean cinema is the most perfect thing for subtitled film. Because it allows you, also, their comedic spontaneity is when there is mania on screen, it is silent filmmaking.
Yeah.
Those last 10 minutes, leading to the last 10 minutes, was silent cinema, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
With the action.
Yeah, it was.
So when the hypermania kicks in, you're following the story with your eyes, and you need to do that with foreign cinema. It's not about reading the subtitles. And I also recommend, at one point, watching the film without subtitles. Because, do you see...
Yeah.
Because it's foreign cinema, they're not aliens. They're human like us. Their emotions, their expressions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if you didn't have those subtitles, though some of the minutiae may be lost in you can still get it.
Yeah.
So there are certain subtitle films that it's very difficult, but that is down to the translators and down to the subtitle, and that they do it wrong with French cinema. So, but what I'm saying is, it's like different... Courses for different horses. You're either going to get along with it if you're not, but do not be scared of it. And Parasite is... It's just such a masterfully, beautifully made film. It is a masterpiece. And you
don't know if anyone's guessed, but I think it might be a masterpiece.
But you came away, and I had a lot more foreign cinema, and straight away you were like... You're like, yeah, give me more. And I'm like, you sure? You're like, oh, come on, don't fucking... And because you're an appreciator of all forms of art, and that's why I absolutely love you. You're not blinkered and you're not... But there is sometimes... Like, we struggled with a certain movie recently called Shoplifters.
Haven't finished.
Which isn't... I don't think the problem is the subtitles. The problem is it's a very slow story.
It's not subtitles. There's nothing wrong with the subtitles.
No, it is the slow... pace of the film, and I think a lot of people prioritise subtitle consumption over the actual story.
Yeah, they do.
It's like just go with it. With the film. Yeah, it's but Parasite, 5 stars out of 5. My favourite film of this year. People going, it was released last year, not in the UK, sweetheart. Here, so this year, and I think probably one of my favourites of the last decade.
What about The Gentleman?
The Gentleman was this year.
So, Parasite or Gentleman?
What, this year?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Hang on, wait. No, we can do categories. This was a Korean film.
Mm.
It's a category.
Okay.
The other was an English film.
Yeah, very British.
British film.
Well,
so,
whilst we're on it...
So, favourite British film was The Gentleman. Favourite Korean film was Parasite.
Yeah. Well, whilst we're on it, The Gentleman, which we haven't spoken about.
Yes, we have.
Have we?
Yes.
Have we?
Yes.
Have we?
Yes.
I don't think we have.
We have.
We haven't reviewed it.
We have.
We haven't.
We have.
We haven't.
I promise you we have.
We haven't.
We have. Charlie Hunnam, Hugh Grant.
I don't remember doing it.
Yeah, I'm sure we have. If we haven't, then we'll come back another time.
We'll have to do a special once a Blu-ray release.
Oh, yeah, so we can watch it again.
Yeah, but if you haven't Makes me want to have a cigarette. But the thing is, The Gentleman, if you haven't seen it, see it. Also, you may have issue with the pitter-patter of the dialogue offered. But guess what? Just go along with it. But to tie this all up, my latest issue with online fanicity. Are you really a Batman fan if you're going out your way to dislike something before you've actually seen the whole thing as a product? Robert Pattinson, people don't like change. I understand that. People don't appreciate change. They've got their own biased notions. But you can't really call yourself a fan if you're not willing. Like, I'm not a big fan of the 1960s Batman, but I know it's there and I can appreciate it for what it is and what it did in the time. Also now, they've made some really fucking hilarious graphic novels of the Adam West era where it's like psychotropic and it's playing up to it. Robert Pattinson, R. Bat, he's going to be a great Batman. I just have the gut feeling.
I've not called him R. Bat.
I've called him R. Bat.
That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
It's R. Bat or we're done. Nothing. But people going out of the way like, nah, hate it, and like really doing a media storm. Grow up. Get a fucking grip. Fans are going to love things, but you can't call yourself a fan if all you're doing is shitting upon something where Matt Reeves, who spent three long years crafting this film, that's dedication. He loves it. He's really putting his whole into it. He's a great filmmaker. If you haven't seen War for the Planet of the Apes or Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, two of the most sublime movies I've ever seen, or anything by Matt Reeves, you've got to realise the guy's passionate, he knows what he's doing, and you know, by the time this comes along and you're feeling that they're trying to be niche or they're trying to be coke-tastic or they're doing this, that, well, ultimately, the negativity that was summated and pressured onto the Joker, people came away and went, I love it. So I have this feeling that the Batman is going to have a lot of people and a lot of love. Just because...
I'm Batman!
Exactly. Ho, ho, ho. Yeah, I really hope at the end he goes, I'm Batman. Ho, ho, ho. No, but stop being toxic. You're allowed your opinion, but there's this comic book artist, supposed comic book artist, who's online, and he's like a dog with a bone. I love him because he's really funny, because he's also playing up to the people that he knows he's winding up. So I kind of see it, that he's doing it deliberately to wind people up. So you fall into the rhythm of like playing with him, but some people are taking it way too seriously. Like, but I mean, there's some people out there who will shut you down and will swear at you because you're not willing to be of the same viewpoint. I remember when Ben Affleck as Batman was a negative thing. I've always been behind Ben Affleck. I think he is the most perfect Batman. But it still doesn't mean I'm not excited for Robert Pattinson's Batman. So I'm just going to say, stop being toxic with it. You know, you can be playful with each other. Even if you have differences of opinions, be playful.
There's a difference between having an opinion and being toxic, isn't there? Yeah. If you have an opinion, you can easily say, okay, let's
debate it.
Let's agree to disagree. But yeah, let's debate it like we have.
Yeah.
Like we have on this podcast, you know. Yeah. I have my opinion, Zach has his. And actually, I think you get on better as people if you can just exercise your knowledge, your experience, your intellect, and use it for the benefit of just, you know, maybe sometimes helping people to see a different view. And,
yeah.
And this is the thing, because I'm not, you know, when I give my opinion, I'm not expecting everybody to follow me and go, yeah, I'm saying that, like, this is my opinion. Think about it.
Mm.
Even if you go, I've thought about it and still, no, I'm sorry, Laura, it doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
Fine. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not expecting everyone to follow me. But what I do with my opinion is to give people my viewpoint. And that's all I want.
And also give them an opportunity as well.
Yeah.
And also, if you can, not in like a imposing way, I'm going to educate you, but look at it from this, like you did with our Brexit episode.
Yeah.
Perfect example.
Educate people with the facts.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the facts that they've got are incorrect.
Yeah.
So educate these people and share your opinions, but don't be toxic. Don't be an arsehole.
Well,
this is my opinion, that's your opinion, I appreciate your opinion.
I hate video games because I've never been able to do the multitasking, I'm not interested, I don't find it entertaining, and there's a huge popularity of the Arkham games, the Batman games, and there's a lot of designs and similarity, but just because I don't like video games doesn't mean I can't appreciate the artistry contained therein.
Exactly.
So basically, that's going to round up our All Sorts episode. Is there anything else you want to end on?
No, I need to go and get a sharp measure because I'm looking at a bookshelf.
For who, you?
For me, yeah.
What to put in here?
No,
to your room. That is actually like one of our shortest episodes.
Woo, go us!
So, next episode, we'll have another All Sorts episode.
Yeah, we will.
What will we be reviewing, do you think? I will probably be reviewing Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes, and I was going to suggest we go and see a film this evening, so possibly reviewing something that we see.
Like a Boss? I really am looking forward to Like a Boss.
Right.
It looks hilarious.
I'm booking it now.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, cheers.
It's always a pleasure. Remember to... remember to like, subscribe, follow.
Sweat drenched press
as well. We also are extending potentially the submission date for the chat books because no one's submitted really. No one wants to have an experiment.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Loads of people have submitted. We just want better variety to pick from.
So if you have anything out there, please send it through. We would love to put our eyes upon it and to soak it up.
Yeah, look out for my book as well.
Mm.
It will be coming out probably relatively soon.
Ooh, interesting. So anyway...
You're gonna have to extend submissions so I can submit mine.
I am extending them because I have an interview and piece featured soon in Rumpus magazine, which is quite a big magazine, and they make mention of the submission. But the biggest issue is when the magazine comes out, it's March and it ends in March, so I am going to extend the submission.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Also, it gives you a better opportunity. I just wanted to give a vague time space. Like, if you have a pitch or an idea, feel free to throw it at me. But remember, guidelines are there. Guidelines are there to be stuck to. Why are you throwing stuff at me?
Oh, that hit me directly on the nose.
Sick. Anyway, much love from me. Much love. Much love and goodbye from
her.
It's always an honour. It's always a joy. And come back to us next time for All Sorts on Articulate Warbling.